Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back with another podcast. On today's episode is Zach the Octopus. Peace, brother. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
You sound tired, my man. You worn down already?
Been a stressful night.
A stressful night? Oh man. Oh man. Anything you want to get off your chest real quick so you don't have to go talk to nobody crazy?
It's a long NBA season, so.
Oh, yes, long NBA and NFL. All right. So since we're saying that, who you representing for? What teams you representing? Or where you from?
Born and raised in Milwaukee, so I've been a Bucks fan my whole life, so I'm always represent them.
Boo.
The other day.
Nah, I ain't talking about that. Just to historically, it can only be one team in the Midwest, and I prefer it to be Chicago. So,
Okay.
yo, y'all got some representatives over there though, with Giannis and having Dame over there. Hopefully, this is a better season for you guys, and you guys can put it together a little bit better.
It was a lot of moving pieces last year, so I guess with the off season and the months and months we got to the playoffs, they got plenty of opportunity to put all the pieces together. Another factor last year.
And it looks like this time around, Dame will have more of a chance to be part of the, not part of the unit, but he'll be more of a cohesive person to the unit, and they'll work together as a team. So we'll see how that turns out. I'm actually rooting for them, but now I ain't saying rooting for them. I'm pulling for them, but I do want Boston to tear shit up, just because JT and JB were treated wrongly. They were treated so wrong for the Olympics. I think they should just come out and just fuck the league up, and just run shit,
I hear that.
All right, so
Objectively,
go to go ahead, go ahead, talk.
objectively, I hear what you're saying, but as a Bucks fan.
I totally understand. I get it. I get it. But being from Chicago, let me say this just because I'm from Chicago and you will understand this and vice versa. Fuck the Bucks. Fuck the Celtics. All right. And I'm sure you feel the same way, on some sports shit. There's nothing else. It has nothing to do with nothing else. All right. Yeah. That's so I just want to say that. So talk to me. What's it like growing up in Milwaukee for you?
Was funny because a lot of people outside of, I guess, the Midwest area, they think it's just nothing but like
Cheese.
farms and cows out here and all that. It's actually a really black experience. Most especially in the city of Milwaukee, it's a lot of African influence deep within the city, a lot of arts and just the music scene too. It makes it hard to not have, a creative background when you come from Milwaukee because everywhere you go, you could see just a mural on a gas station somewhere. It was a mural downtown that always impressed me whenever I drive by it, was driven by it when I was a kid. Just spanned a whole wall, was damn near a mile long. And that just, I guess that subconsciously makes you want to be an artist and express yourself somehow. So it's kind of like it's in the blood of the city, being an artist.
Yeah, a lot of times growing up, we never, not we, but you don't hear much coming from Milwaukee until you get a full understanding of going there, and understanding why they call it Mill Town and things like that, and other parts like Dane County and things like that, where you get to un have a better understanding of what's actually going on in Milwaukee and everything. But no one really knows until they really go there. You know, Chicago is highly touted as the best thing in the Midwest, but there are some other great places in the Midwest that you would have to visit to have a better understanding of what's really going on there. And most people don't. So tell me, what got you into the art? Did you start drawing at an early age? What was it?
I'm gonna say genetics because my mom, she was big into fashion. She would tell my brother and I when we was babies how she wanted to be a fashion designer before she settled on teaching. And it tripped me out because I would always have a sketchbook around drawing and sketching some creative idea. She said she used to do that when she was a kid. And she got that from her aunt. She would do that when my mom was a kid. So I guess it's almost like a natural talent for me. Ever since I could first hold a pencil or something, I've always been drawing to try to create or edit a blank space and add some color to the life somewhere. Yeah. And it was really nurtured too. Like my dad would teach me how to draw and show me comic books and all that. I had lots of artistic cousins, not just here, but when I would go East Coast to Philly, my family up there, yeah, they real artistic too, and that's also an artistic city. And yeah, just that just led to me pursuing it and pursuing it, and I went to the School of the Arts for high school, and that cemented it that I was going, like stick with art, and it wasn't just a hobby anymore. It was like a lifestyle at this point. I had to develop my own, personal style, and just something that spoke to me. You could instantly see it and see that it's mine, and it's not just some little sketch that's not finished. I could put my personality on the paper and all that. Yeah.
Okay. So you're going around the city. Did you start, were you able to create your own business early on, or was it just a regular, I'm gonna start doing my own sketches and get into art, and then by the time you're 13, you start figuring out your style and everything,
Yeah.
or how did that work out for you?
Yeah, until I was about like 16, I really was just doing it for fun. But when I turned 16, that's when my style started to really come into being. I would just I'd make album covers for kids in my school and logos for family members that had their own little side business going on. And I just carried that on out of high school because I didn't really know where I was going after I graduated. I was kind of with a fuck it,
Oh, so you didn't have an idea coming out of high school what you wanted to do.
No. It was like a blender of things up there, like something with sports maybe, or I wanted to do something with entertainment, maybe go to college. And then I was just at the house, fucking around making my art. That's when it hit me, like, oh shit, I do this for free. So if I'm doing this for free, something I would like fight just to be able to do and get paid to do, would that would be my art, because it was just a natural thing for me. And been since then trying to, do whatever, get it any way I can. Whether that's through making some shirts or some canvases, maybe putting a mural somewhere, doing other art for other people too, just any way I can let my voice be heard through my art.
Word. P6, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, bro. My bad. I was trying to get this camera thing set up. So,
It's all love. It's all love. Zach said he was tired of waiting on y'all, man. He said y'all was too slow. He said he's sick of waiting on black folks, man.
it's all good. I don't blame
He said he's sick of waiting
Yeah,
on black folks. So we had to go ahead and start. Any
man.
questions you want to ask him right away?
No, I'm just listening to the conversation right now until some questions come up. So,
Okay.
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Nice meeting you.
Man, likewise.
So you didn't know what you wanted to do coming out of high school. What did you ever think about going to college, or did you jump right into, let me go ahead and start doing art?
Yeah, around the age of 16, like 16 was a big age for me. I was like the probably the turning point in my life. 'Cause I was just honestly trying to just please my family, trying to impress my dad maybe by either trying to pursue basketball or something like some type of engineering degree or something. And I was a little miserable with that. And yeah, I just took a long moment of solitude, just sitting, thinking about who I was trying to be, versus who I was trying to be. And that just led to me just to completely, shutting down any of the preconceived, the things I'm trying to be, just letting it all out and starting new. So, and that just made me go 110% into my art and maybe try to view the lifestyle that is an artistic or creative one as not a, some little hobby. 'Cause people will make you feel like it's, just some distraction
Yeah,
or
cause
something
it,
to
for, cause,
distract.
and I'll say this: growing up, although I did make some decent money doing art, painting signs and painting portraits and the chalk drawings and things like that. What I heard early on was that you could never make any money off of doing art, so you should find a real life skill and stick to that. That's what I was told. So I'm not sure what all they said to you, but I was told that as a young man, art wouldn't get me anywhere. There was nothing in art, for me to support myself or support my family. So I should find something else to do early on.
It was that my dad straight up told me that it wasn't gonna work. And I think it's not even directly, it's just like subconsciously. Teachers in school, commercials on TV, they all tell you that creativity don't pay and to fall in line and all that. So with that, it was really just about shedding all of the things, unlearning all the stuff that I was taught, either consciously or subconsciously, and just moving forward as a new man and following what was my truest desire and not what I think will make me happy, what will actually make me happy.
I got
And
a question.
yeah.
About how long ago was it when you actually got in the presence of somebody who was actually as serious about or as passionate about their art as you found yourself to be? And you say, that right there is the direction I want to go in, or something that's something I really want to strive for. Because, I used to hoop, I'm saying? Being on a court with a lot of the ballers was like, that was my motivation. You know what I'm saying? Playing against somebody who was better than me, or somebody more creative than me, or somebody who was more successful than me always drove me to kind of, do it. Whether or not I was going to go to the league wasn't even on my mind. It was just to be as good as them. So, like, what age did you really reach or meet that individual that said, made you say, you know what? Screw all that. This is what I want to do.
It was three people, really. It was my older brother and two older cousins I had. So my brother, that's why I was always conflicted when I was a kid, because he's very musically talented. So he has always, since birth, like before he could talk or walk, he was beating on the drums and making a good rhythm. And that he always seemed like he had it figured out. And that conflicted with me because I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. So when I see him, despite my dad saying that too, that that's, unstable, him having band practices since he was like, what, 12 years old, and he's still going hard to this day with his music. That made me think, you know, if I could display even a little bit of the same confidence and passion as him, I could probably flip this into something as well. And another cousin of mine also is like that with acting. He really, since we was kids, is always standing out and being bold. And he ain't afraid to drop everything and move to a new city if he could. He thinks that it'll present him with a new opportunity. So he was also an inspiration. And I had another cousin, Curtis. He actually is in the industry, working with Dr. Dre and all those types of people. He does music too. And, you know, he's always an inspiration to me and my siblings and my other cousins. He would tell us all that too, that the sky's the limit. So when you're sitting in the room depressed and not knowing where to go, you sometimes just close your eyes and look for the light when you around a bunch of darkness. And that's the things you remember is those family members that actually, you know, that you want to emulate what they did and what they're doing, the creative lights in your life. So it was probably those three I just chased after for sure.
I get it. I get it. I know as a creative, it's always challenging to kind of like break through just on a, like, if, even if you're just doing it for yourself, it's kind of hard to break through. But when you got people around you who may not necessarily see or appreciate the vision, that, I guess, that adds a little bit more weight to the struggle to actually get there. And wherever there is for you, it may not even measure up to what they expect out of you. You know, people expect you to get rich. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna do that, you might as well do it as a job. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to like just being as sharp as you can at it, and letting it manifest what it's gonna manifest for you. Because I don't think a lot of people tap into their talents that way. Some people kind of like just put their talents on the shelf and just go get a job somewhere. And then for the rest of their life, it's always shoulda, woulda, coulda.
That's the thing I fear most is being on my deathbed with regrets. We only got one life, you know. I don't want to waste none of my time down here. Sit around being a shoulda, woulda, coulda ass person.
And what they say is that the cemetery is the richest place on earth because most people went to their deaths with all their ID with all their ideas with them, and they never poured them out into the world. They went to the cemetery with all their money or whatever it was, and they never poured everything out into the world that they should have. So, what you're saying is very true. You want to pour everything out. Me, myself, I am a giver. So a lot of the knowledge that I have, I give to people. Anything that I know how to make money or do something with art or whatever it is, I give. I give and I give and I give and I give. You're supposed to pour out as much as you can and leave nothing behind as some for some people. Some people keep everything to themselves because they don't want to see other people succeed or see people do better than themselves. But you know, I feel that part of my job while I'm here is to give and give as much as I can. Second round of second time around, money wise, I won't do that as much, but I'll do things a lot different this time. But as much as you can, you should give and you should help people and you should uplift people and show them things that they didn't know how to do to make sure that they get further than where they were. Now, whether they listen or not, whether they take your advice and whether they help themselves out, that's totally on them if they make it beneficial to themselves. But you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do.
You don't hear enough of that.
And you're not. You're not.
People real selfish out here.
Nope. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Your style, where does it come from? Where did you get your style from?
Largest influence would definitely be Jack Kirby, who was an old comics creator from the 1960s. Because my dad, oh, when me and my brother was like 2 years old, Spider-Man movie, that really opened our eyes. And my dad told us all about all the other types of superheroes, and he made sure that we got a hold of some of those old comic books. And since then, man, I just been in love with that vibrant style, real expressive and colorful all over the place. And I'd also say a lot of hip hop album covers. Yeah, when I saw a lot of just the style and attitude and how braggadocious you could be with just an image and the way you could compose it, that made me want to make my own and express myself through images.
Okay, because you do have a vibrant style. I was checking it out earlier. I'm checking it out now as we continue to talk and speak and everything. And I was looking at it and I was wondering, that was one of the things. It's like it's a very vibrant, and I'm big on colors. Colors say a lot about your palette, right? There's a lot going on in your eyes and a lot going on in your brain when you start using a lot of colors and everything. So I was just wondering. So outside of Jack Kirby, who else was there? It was just, so it's just Jack Kirby so far?
Yeah, him and like Jean-Michel Basquiat
Okay.
and probably a lot of the old cartoons I watched that had all the explosions and all that and crazy patterns and colors. Yeah, I gotta say that those are huge influence. In fact, I watched some of the old movies I watched when I was a kid, something like Osmosis Jones that'll get me inspired to make something new.
Okay. So you're a movie buff then? Is that what you're telling me? Oh, okay. So let's do this then. Six, we gotta take them back. We did this on a different podcast, so we're gonna ask you right now, name your top five movies of all time. Don't matter what genre, just name your top five movies.
Number one is Django. That's always number one.
Okay.
Then I'm gonna say The Incredibles and Fantastic Mr. Fox. Probably the new Batman, maybe. And the fifth one would be this one could be any. It's different every day. So it's going to either be a Scorsese one or a Tarantino. Maybe some Edgar Wright.
Okay. So if we say Scorsese, we talking about Godfather 1, Godfather 2, we talking about The Irishman.
Irishman, The Departed.
Oh, Departed is fire.
Departed,
Fire.
That's a great one right there.
Fire, yes, sir.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street was a good one as well.
I like your use of shapes and perspective, like the angle. It's almost like a movie poster. You know what I'm saying? That's what I get from it. Big time movie poster vibes.
Try to tell a story with the pose. Keep it dynamic. People
I think
don't
that that's what's I think that is the unique component that kind of make an artist's style, stand out from like the pack. Because a lot of people tend to, there's a lot of people who are awesome at what they do, but a lot of their stuff is derivative. So it's kind of like you can tell immediately just by either listening to the music they make or looking at the visual arts that they produce that they're really just mimicking their favorite art, as opposed to like taking that inspiration and pouring it into what they individually see, in their head. Some people can't really articulate their ideas without kind of like mimicking something. I don't really get mimicry from you. I get like just outright, you're inspired by something. That's what I get when I look at your work. So it's dope.
I see a lot of inspiration, like I not necessarily mimicking, but he said, "Ooh, I like that, but I'm gonna do it my way. I'm gonna flip it my way."
That's why it's important to, I really, when I find an art piece, I like, I find anything I like visually, I like break it down to the smallest component. So I know exactly what I like about it. So that way I can put that in my art. So I wouldn't, you have to know why it pops and not just copy it because it popped. So it's important to really understand the foundation of design and what would make somebody. That's what I try to think when I'm creating something is why would anybody keep looking at this? So I have to do something off conception to make people that will make people stop and stare at my, you know, my works. When I was in high school, we had little gallery showings. That was how you know you had a hit is people actually stopped and asked you about it instead of just walking past, maybe saying, "Oh, that's cool." Really want to start a conversation with my art.
Yeah.
Any questions you want to ask some shits before we go further?
Based on the work that I saw. What's the have you ever been commissioned to do a piece for anybody, like a unique piece?
Oh yeah, I probably got like 3, 4 different requests I'm working on right now. Yeah, it's always fun to be challenged. You know, that's the only way
Yeah.
you get better in any field is to challenge yourself. So I welcome that when people challenge me and give me something funky or creative to make really stretch my brain, make me work.
You're right.
Commissions can be a pain in the ass though, at sometimes, not at sometimes, but sometimes though, they can be a pain in the ass because you do a piece and then you show it to the person and then they go, "That's not what I wanted." It's like, well, I don't care what you wanted. This is what you told me, and this is what I did based on the artwork that I know how to do. And then you get people who are offended by that. How do you deal with that?
I stress to be as specific as you can be because some people tell you just go crazy. When I go crazy, you tell me to reel it back in. And they're like, what you want from me, you know? So any guidelines you got, just put them there so I know off rip what I'm doing and not doing. But when I don't try to get too crazy because I know my style can get a little insane for everybody else. I try to contain it a little bit when I'm doing a commission, but I might make a backup or two just in case they want to see the crazier one.
As far as your
Do you usually
drawings, go ahead, six.
I was going to ask, do you usually play music while you're creating? Do you have like any audio like inspiration as well?
Oh,
Because
yeah,
I know like a lot of artists, like for me, like when I'm creating music, a lot of people tend to like only want to focus on the sounds that they have right in that moment. But sometimes I want to be like inspired by something outside of that. So I'll play a documentary in the background or something like that. Things like that to kind of like motivate me to kind of like push the boundary of what I'm creating.
that's like ritual. I have to have some type of music playing. I usually just, yeah, I say the music actually. It shifts the whole piece. So it might have a different tone. If I start playing like something from the Neptunes from the early 2000s, it might be more
Fire.
colorful and bouncy. But then I switch it to like some coke raps, like some Pusha T or something, and then it'll get a more, you know, crazy kind of darker tone with it. But I do try to imagine kind of the figure moving to its own soundtrack. And
Right.
that soundtrack will end up shaping how it comes out. So yeah, music is definitely an accessory while I'm designing something.
That's dope.
All right, my next question for you would be Jean-Michel Basquiat. Do you have favorite pieces?
Don't remember which one it's called. But it was something about a fisherman. Also, one with the T-Rex. Yeah, the fisherman one is just that one really opened up for me what I'm supposed to do with art. Because if you look at it, it's so many crazy patterns and designs, but it's all contained into one shape. So it's kind of this the whole principle of taking something you recognize and adding your own flair into it. And that just kind of encapsulates what I wanted to do with my art in general.
Okay. You did a piece or a print of Malcolm X back in November 2022. All right. What made you do that one? What was your inspiration behind that?
Is that the one with
Unfadable, impeccable, impenetrable.
oh yeah, 2022, I had just gotten fired on some fuck white people shit or something like that. Just feeling real, because that's when you get the most political, when you feel like you ain't got nothing really tether you down. Like some distracted with some job or anything. So I probably was. That wasn't an election year, was it? No, it
So that's when you hit your rebellion.
wasn't.
You start pushing against the machine a little bit more when you hit that wall. You're like, man, fuck this. You get in your creative bag.
Yeah,
I
I
get it.
usually look at,
I got that when I got pulled over one night and knocked out like a whole bunch of shit.
I probably was there at
I think that
political.
this is just a this is something I tell people all the time, especially when I'm speaking to creatives. I told them, I said, that creativity is our natural state, and it's our only unbound form of communication. Like if you're having a just a general conversation with somebody, you kind of like abide by rules of being kind to people. You know what I'm saying? If you're angry, you kind of got to keep it bottled up in a way because you don't want to take that rage out on somebody, things like that. But when you're in a creative space, it's limitless because for one, your audience has yet to even hear what you got to say until they witness the art. So you can say everything you want to say in one session. You know what I'm saying? You can be as expressive, you can be as angry as you want, you can be as sad as you want. Whatever that emotion is, you can pour it all out into this piece. And then when you present it to the world, by the time they receive it, you're not even on that no more. You've already moved on. So that's what I'm saying. Like being a creative is probably like the biggest, it's the best gift as a species we got, and a lot of us don't ever really tap into it.
I always saw creativity as a flower, and it needs sunshine and water. A lot of people don't tend to the plant; they just let it wilt and die in their head. I've always tried to tend to that creative, even if it's something small. Do something creative every day to keep that plant alive and shining.
Man.
Expression is one of the things that separates us from the animals, right? So you gotta try to keep expressing yourself by any means. If it's through fashion or language or music, whatever it is, let that out. Don't
I
put on.
think that's why we live in an era now where, like, the people who aren't as artistically creative, they're kind of finding a different way to kind of X out all the artistic creative people through AI. They create these AI tools to kind of like mimic, so they can market it, because it's hard to contain and pitch an idea that doesn't necessarily speak to the style or the passion of the artist and get them to sell what they're creating. I see it every day. You hear about rappers getting dropped from labels because they don't meet the deadlines, or they're not meeting the goal. And like saying, it's even worse for visual artists, because you got a lot of people again who just go through the mimic phase of it, and they get jobs at ad agencies. They work for magazines and video game companies. You got some who are passionate about it, and others who just they do just good enough to get by. And then those who are 100% passionate about it, the industries kind of avoid us because We got ideas. They don't want you to have ideas. They just want your art. They don't want your opinion. They don't want your idea. They just want your art.
Yeah. The real corporate guys, they just squeeze all the life and humanity out of it and just try to make a buck off of everything.
That's their job. That's their job. They don't care nothing about the art that you have. Their job is to make sure that whatever integrity and respect you have for your art, you leave it behind and you help them make as much money as they need you to make. They need you to help them make. They don't care about the art or the integrity. And I did an episode. I don't know if you ever heard of this guy. I did a podcast with a guy named Julian Voss Andree. And on the podcast and off the podcast, he talked about the integrity and respect for your work. He said that's the main thing that counts always. He says it doesn't matter how much money you make, unless making money is the biggest thing to you. He said, but if you care more about the integrity of your art and the respect for your art and what you're actually doing, that's the thing that will carry you the farthest, and that's the thing that will matter to you the most. But if you are interested in making money, most people will appeal to what makes sense, what makes dollars at the time, because they don't care about what they're actually putting their all into, what they're actually crafting, what their gift is for. And it's almost kind of like being on commission again, right? Someone is telling you what they want and what you have to do and what you need to do it, instead of you sitting down and fashioning out a drawing or a sketch and doodling and figuring out what it is that you want to do. So someone's always around you trying to tell you how to do things, but the respect and integrity and the dignity in the art is very important. My next question for you, do you take any of your work, your inspiration from Afro Samurai?
Definitely.
I see that.
Yeah, I watched all that type of stuff when I was like a freshman in high school. That show got a lot of it's a lot of motion, and it's real free if you ever really paid attention to how it's drawn. It's every frame, it's dancing, it's dancing on your eyeball. Everything's jumping around, and motion is real underrated in design. People's art tends to be a little static. I try to do something to make your eyes move all over. That's the two things. When I'm making art, I want to consciously capture your mind. Like, I want the concept of it's me holding a lightning bolt or some dragon breathing fire. I want that to pull you in. But what will keep you there will be the things that's going on in the background. So you don't even know that you like it, but you like it. That's the different motion and the patterns and the colors in the back. So it's all real, planned out from the beginning.
Have you had any showcases?
Not recently. I've been a lot real busy with adult stuff, work and all
Damn, you said
that.
adult stuff like you. I got shit to do. I don't have no time for showcases. The fuck is you talking about?
Was a teenager, though. I had a couple. I'd always have something shown off. I should be trying to get into that more, though. Displaying my stuff in some type of public area.
What are your favorite mediums to use when you're creating?
Starting to sketch it out first. I used to do that, but then I thought it wasn't artistic enough, because it's like I'm doing too much planning. I just want to hop straight into it and let it, almost like freestyling. I don't want to plan too much. I just want the art to come to me as I'm going. But I'm finding more solace in drawing physically, just sketching stuff, even going out in nature and sketching a picture of a tree, any type of charcoal or anything, trying to capture natural moments on a piece of paper. So definitely, yeah, just the good old pencil and paper. That's probably my favorite medium.
Okay. So a lot of the drawings that you have posted on your IG page, what is this marker? Is this watercolor? What is it that you're using? Is it just
Oh yeah, all the ones I post are digital, but I
okay.
would plan them out first with different markers and stuff on pieces of paper. But the final ones, yeah, I make those in Photoshop and put them on there.
So what
Suggest.
software are you using?
You said, what software are you using?
Photoshop.
That was it, six.
No, that's all I got right now.
Just in case to catch you up, six. My man is from Milwaukee. I told him, fuck the Bucks. Because you weren't in here. I just needed to say that, and I'll just say it again. The Bulls are trash. We're gonna acknowledge that, but because I'm from Chicago and this is the Midwest and this is a central division of basketball, fuck them. That's all I got. I just wanted to say that. Yeah, musically, who are you into right now?
nine times out of ten, I'm listening to Griselda, either West Side Gunn or Boldy James.
Bodie James is fire. I like Bodie James.
He used to date Amanda Seals.
That's interesting.
They're paying for all this stuff too. I spend
She
some
was so
old.
impressed about it. She brought it up in her interview with Shannon with Shannon Sharp. Sounds like nobody asked that.
What happened?
She had, Shannon was on his tear this year, and he was interviewing a lot of people, and he had his interview with Amanda Seals, and just out of nowhere, she just started revealing details about her former relationship with Boldy. How he used to pay, how he had her paying for everything and shit like that. She would ask him to do shit, and he'd be like, "Nah." He hit her with the stiff arm.
She just came, she was just revealing.
Man, just felt like she needed to give it up.
I guess so. She probably had some shit she wanted to get off her chest just to let people know what she had been up to or whatever.
Don't think nobody was wondering about that.
I'm sure no one really gave a shit, but she just gave up the information. That's what she did.
She wanted to have a Cat Williams moment.
She wanted to have people scrolling up and down her page looking for him, huh?
Right. Who is this Boldy
All
James
right, never heard of him. Is he a rapper? Is he a drummer, a guitar player?
I know he was trending real heavy around that month, though. Right when she did that, shit, he was trending pretty heavy. But yeah, that's dope. That's a dope correlation. I could see like your musical taste kind of reflected in some of the pieces I was looking at. So that's dope.
Kanye West
What's the question?
dude, pretty big inspirational.
If one of those guys reached out to you to do cover art, do you think you'd be up for the challenge? Because they do a lot of abstract cover art. Benny not so much. Benny kind of like his cover art seemed to be like 90s themed.
Scarface or something. Yeah, I would be down for that. Yeah, that would actually that'd make my year probably if I got to make some album cover for something I'm always spinning. Yeah, that'd be dope. Always making something for musicians anyway.
As a person who was into or inspired by Jack Kirby, what are your favorite comic books? And they don't have to be Jack Kirby.
Yeah. I just like the detective stories and the horror genre. A lot of stuff that makes you not think so much, but it challenges what's normal. It's not everything ain't really bright and cheery. It's just really ugly, but good ugly, ugly that will make you recoil a little bit. I want to turn the pages and be shocked about what I'm looking at. So Batman and some Hellboy too. That's really my favorites.
What did you think of that last Hellboy that they did a few years ago? The movie.
That one was ass.
Yeah, it was
I
super
didn't
terrible. The was it the Golden Knights or the Golden Empire? I thought that was
Golden
dope.
Army.
Golden Army. I thought that was dope.
I'm glad he just put that on the stream, and I was looking for
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
that one.
After that, I was like, all right, they might be done because I don't know how they're gonna top this one. You know, usually when they whatever movie comes out and they do a really good one, everything after just is barbecue ass juice. You know, like it's not gonna work out ever.
They just made another one. That one looked like a fan film.
Nah,
Even know if I'm gonna
ain't
check
nobody checking for it or anything. Going forward, what do you see yourself doing with art? Would you like to have more showcases? Would you like to open up a gallery? Would you like to travel and display your art for showcases? Do you know what you would like to do?
like I see myself really maybe putting my art on shirts. Lot of people ask for that personally in my personal life. And yeah, displaying it more in my own galleries and working with them, becoming partners with a lot of gallery owners. So it's more of a normal thing that is I'm expected there. And eventually my end goal would be to make some I want to make like art books every month, just a book of my art, just to showcase it there and make it affordable, so it's not just rich people that could buy it, that every man could get it. The working man, non-working man, a child, so that way I can inspire and express myself to everybody.
When you're doing your are you drawing just from yourself or are you drawing from things around you? Because I know like sometimes when people sit and they draw, there's they have an idea, they have a sketch of art, you know, they have a I don't know how to put it, they have windows and panels that they want to do. Do yours pop up like that or is it just one landscape picture or one portrait that you want to do for yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a case by case thing.
Okay.
Sometimes it's like that. Most times it's just me, though, just what I'm doing for myself. But inspiration can really be drawn. It could just come from anywhere. You never know. So I guess I gotta always be ready to take mental note.
All right. Let's talk about comedy. So are you into comedy movies?
Not the newer ones, but.
I'm just saying, period. They ain't got to be nothing new. Give
Okay.
me your top 3 to 5 if you got them.
Number one is Don't Be a Menace, the Wayans brothers one.
Okay.
Number two, the other guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Number
I have
three,
not seen that one.
yeah, it's real
That's
good.
just funny.
It's hilarious. Third one, probably I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Yeah, that's a real smart comedy. It's funny as hell, but it's also, picking apart things in culture. I think that that's probably my top three right there.
All right. I'm gonna name one for you, and I'm gonna
Okay.
ask you about it. 40-year-old version. What did you think of
That's a classic.
that?
Always playing the scene in my head with Kevin Hart.
That was a crazy scene, dog.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That's one of my all-time favorite comedy movies, man. Like I, it's a rarity that I can go wrong with that one, you know.
Don't make them like that no more.
I haven't heard any.
It's
I haven't
not
seen
allowed.
anything like that in a while. Would you say six?
They're not allowed.
No? You think that's what it is?
Yeah, back in the day, it was like no holds barred comedy. Now it's like you got these rules that you got to abide by, and you got to find a way to make those jokes work without being offensive.
I think people should just do it. I don't think it's about being offensive. I think just think that people get on these social media sites and they say we're gonna cancel this person for telling a joke about gay people or trans people,
That's the thing, though.
and we it hurt our feelings. But everybody's
That's the
hurt
thing,
feelings is
though.
gonna get hurt about something. You can't stop
Offensive.
that.
Being offensive is subjective, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could say something to somebody, and just because they don't like it, could be something about they don't like my blue hoodie. And now they're offended by what I said because they triggered by the fact that I had on the blue hoodie, and my blue hoodie reminded them of some shit from their childhood. There could be a number of things that trigger offense. It's just that now we got more companies and ad agencies supporting it because they know that their core demographic are the ones complaining. So that's really what it comes down to. Like, that's why the Wayans brothers ain't really been in the movies like that too much now. Ain't nobody really writing in those checks because they scared them niggas gonna come out there with some old controversial takes. You know what I'm saying?
What was the
Yeah.
movie?
They edited out a whole bunch of they clone Tyrone before they put that movie out. And that
That
movie
movie was
crazy.
still fire. That movie was still fire.
Yeah.
It was.
Imagine what was on the cutting room floor.
Man. Cause that movie seemed like something was missing in certain parts. Like they left some information out, you know, or like something was I was watching it, like it seemed like they cloned Tyrone was just missing something, like they were just taking shit out of it, you know. So,
Like
but I
he was
never went
jumping from
back.
one scene to the next, no context at all.
It wasn't meshing together. It was like they didn't do a good job of editing this together very well. But now that you say that, that makes more sense. That you know they were taking shit out to not be offensive, which I don't think they should have done. But you know, if you got somebody else paying for the budget, you kind of submit to what's going on.
If you want it on their platform, you want to release your movie on their platform, that's another thing. Like you can 100% hell, Tyler Perry, he 100% finance his movies, and you see what that shit look like. Mama's pulling dead bodies out of caskets, bro.
Man.
You don't care who he a fan.
Because one thing about Tyler Perry is he know that his audience is always gonna represent. You know, they're gonna stand up and they're gonna show up for him.
Very
Like
strong. You know who the audience is?
women.
White folks.
Women.
They
His
love them. They
women.
love them.
His audience,
They are surprised we're not more like
like he
that.
said, when I create movies for a certain group of people, and you do not have to be a part of that group of people to like my movies. Those people like my movies, so you know, we may not like it or I may not like it, but somebody is paying attention to that shit enough to make that man $1 billion. So, you know, salute to him for getting to that mark. Yeah, definitely, definitely. So are you paying attention to this Green Bay team you got out there?
My boys let me know about it, but I don't watch it till the playoffs.
Okay, they look decent, man. Jordan Love might be the guy of the future for you all, man.
Was freaking out
Yeah, he looked good. He just got hurt. Was that a couple weeks ago? But he looked like he's gonna be a good quarterback. He may be running the NFC in a couple years. You know, I like him. I fuck with the kid. Very good player.
I'll look for him at the parade when you get the chip.
He just gonna throw that out there, huh? Once again, I'm gonna say this: fuck the Bucks. We do not fear the Bucks. Fuck the Bucks, man. Fuck the Bucks. I mean, the Bulls are trash, but I just have to say that.
You got to. I get
Yeah,
it.
I have to say that. I'm from Chicago, man. It just don't seem right to hear you talk about those guys and I not say nothing. All right, so let me talk to you about this: representing brands and being an independent business owner. Are there any brands, black owned brands that you support, like t-shirts? Because I have on right now, I have on a Fresh Culture clothing. Are there any brands that you support?
Not officially, no. But I have been in talks with a couple people. We're still in the planning stages of making something like that. Our own businesses in clothing. So, but as for now, I'm still a free agent.
Okay, no, and you should stay a free agent. All I'm saying is, like, do you go out and vend and support and buy black-owned clothing brands?
I would buy anything to support,
Okay.
young black creators.
Okay, definitely. That's definitely. You should always do that, man. Always do that. Always show support as much as you can. If you can't do it, it's understandable. But when you got the time and you have the space to do it, you should definitely support black brands, black owned brands.
I definitely try to whenever I can,
Yes, sir.
especially
Six.
when the youth involved.
Are you a part of any youth initiatives where you are?
Not in the official ones, but I do work with kids every now and
Okay.
then. Yeah.
Six, any other questions you need to ask him?
No, not really. I just think he makes some dope work. He's got a good eye for detail and color palette. It stands out in a way that I think that with the right amount of time and eyes on it, it's gonna pop and become something phenomenal. It's got to be intentional about that.
Would you
I'm
ever?
big on enforcing being intentional,
Would you ever consider using Prismacolors or no, not Prismacolors? Would you ever consider using, what was the one? Watercolors.
Yeah, I've done that in high school.
Okay. Would you
That's
consider?
probably,
Would you consider painting and
yeah.
using watercolor?
If I was gonna paint, I'd do watercolors instead. Best
I,
friend.
I'm not saying that that's not something you should do, but I'm just saying, like, judging
Yeah,
off the work that you do,
I know. Yeah,
I think it would
watercolor.
be a dope, yeah, I think it would be a dope addition to what you do have going on.
Yeah, watercolor is the that's the way to go. That's how you get the best looking ones. That's the ones that's always beautiful and stop me in my tracks whenever I see a watercolor painting.
And then you can dibble and dab with like acrylic at some point in time if you feel the need to. But definitely I definitely do see, I know you're doing prints and everything, but I definitely see like how your style can combine or mesh with using watercolors.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. So I'm gonna go ahead and end it here. Is there any message of inspiration or motivation you would like to leave before we go?
Even if it's only a crawl, always keep moving forward.
I like that one. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Faux Prophets Podcast. My guest today was Zach the Octopus from Milwaukee. I appreciate you stopping by and giving me your time and energy. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, remember the mission statement when you're striving for greatness. God never puts you in the driver's seat if it's taken. Zach, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Appreciate you more, man. Thanks
Yes,
for having me.
sir. Yes, sir.